Welcome to Klima, the Insights and Thought Leadership podcast brought to you by IGS. We are a Scottish-based technology company specialising in delivering platforms that create ideal climates for plants and people. Over the course of this series, we hope to share conversations with both old friends and new from across the world who share our passion for continuous innovation and a refusal to accept conventional technical thinking. Agriculture 4.0. What does it mean and how will it change the way we produce food? In this three-part series, we will break down some of the key considerations and impacts facing the agriculture and food production industries over the next 5 to 10 years. As we talk to friends and partners across our network, we will consider three core areas: skills, science, and sustainability. In this first episode, we look at why precision farming and controlled environment agriculture is becoming more mainstream and the skills and talent required to make it a success. Technology is having a greater impact in agriculture than ever before, and this is only set to increase. It will bring with it a wider and more advanced agricultural ecosystem, which requires a skilled, knowledgeable, and committed workforce, with as great an appetite for innovation and capacity to problem solve as any generation before. Today, I'm talking to Professor Fiona Burnett and Ruth Vikos from Scotland's Rural College, or the SRUC. Hello to you both.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Kate. Hello.
Hi. Fiona is head of Connect for Impact in the SRUC's Knowledge and Innovation Hub, and Ruth is a lecturer in horticulture. I'm delighted that you've both been able to join me, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to have a chat. I'm keen today to talk to you about the theme of Agriculture 4.0 and the emerging influences on education and skills development across agriculture and horticulture. I'd like to find out a bit more about what is changing in an educational context and how technology is having a greater influence in terms of skills evolution and the necessity to think and learn differently. But firstly, before we start, I wondered if you could tell us a bit more about the SRUC, Fiona, and then if you could both just give me a bit, maybe starting with you, Fiona, your roles within the SRUC.
Yeah, of course, Kate. So Scotland's Rural College it's an HEI, obviously, primarily focused on the natural economy. So we cover a huge range of things. But obviously agriculture and horticulture, you know, is the kind of focus of the conversation today and a huge piece of our interest too. So SRUC spans research, consultancy and teaching activity. And the teaching, the skills piece there goes right from PhDs, quite, you know, intensive postgraduate pieces, right through the higher education, the further education, and the CPD and the training that we do with industry as well. And our geography is maybe the least interesting thing about us, but I mean, we're spread over Scotland. So we have 6 campuses, 6 farms and a network of consultancy offices, which really means we're quite embedded through the country. We do have an office just over the border in England as well. So that kind of sets out the scene. My piece is more, I'm a crop scientist, so interested in sustainability. Ruth, rather, works much more closely with our students.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me. So I'm one of the horticulture lecturers. What I predominantly focus on is the production side. So anything from bedding plants right through to hardy ornamentals, and then also looking at crop production as well, both on the local scale right up to a global scale as well. So one of the high level degree classes that I teach is called Global Horticulture. So I teach a really vast range of subjects that all fall within production predominantly, including things like technology, looking at production mechanization, glasshouse control, all of these things. So anything that falls within production tends to come to me.
Great. Well, Ruth, I think probably to move on from that, I'd be interested to know a bit more about the approach to teaching and educational implementation and how this has evolved and changed in response to the COVID pandemic.
A lot.
Probably an understatement.
It's an understatement. So we've gone from having, I mean, we have our own on the Edinburgh campus where I'm based, and we have our own glasshouse that we use for teaching. At the moment, we can't use it, so we are teaching everything online, which is, it's difficult to translate what is considered to be a practical subject like horticulture. Translating that to an online environment is very difficult. I've thoroughly loved it. I've really enjoyed the move to the digital environment. But within our course, we actually have a lot of theory. So that theory is really well suited to being online. The biggest problem we have at the moment, obviously, is making sure that our students still gain those skills required if they wanted to go work in the industry. So before this second lockdown happened, one of my colleagues, he was able to have some students in small groups doing practical work, which has been really helpful. The students have really thoroughly enjoyed being able to have that contact time. But we're now in this second, or it could be third or fourth, I don't know, I've lost track, lockdown, whereby we essentially put all of our practical units and modules to the end of the year. So, you know, after Easter, and now we're finding that we're getting to Easter and we're going, how are we going to do this? So we're still evolving. It is evolving. Every day we have meetings to understand how we're going to continue to do it so that the quality of education we're delivering isn't let down by moving online.
Mm-hmm. And do you solely deliver lessons online, or are you, is there some practical element where, I mean, presumably your glasshouses still have plants growing in them. They can't go online.
We have to be very careful. Mm-hmm. And with a practical subject like horticulture, where you're touching a lot of surfaces, you're maybe touching the same tools, you know, we've had to really adapt that. So where we, prior to this lockdown, where we could have students on, you know, we've had to expand the number of tools we have so that everybody has their own equipment. And, you know, just like little tweaks like that can really mm-hmm. help. But we're now in a position where everything is online again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Fiona, that from a, even from a sort of strategic perspective, is very hard. I mean, you obviously need to ensure you're following the guidance, but to actually implement this, I mean, is there anything, from an overarching sort of leadership and strategic perspective that you would add to that in terms of the approach?
Yeah, no, you're right, Kate. It's been hugely challenging and having to adapt constantly as, you know, the rules and regulations change. But throughout, we've tried to be kind of very respectful of, you know, we work in some remote rural communities and very sensitive to their feelings. But some activity has continued in that it's directly in support of food production. So, for example, our consultants are still able to go out and, you know, monitor crops, walk crops, visit farms, animal welfare, you know, again, an essential activity. So anything related to our veterinary activity has carried on. And, you know, it's been really challenging, but actually some of the advantages. So, for example, where we're out doing field experiments, you know, you referred to there still being plants in our glasshouses. So that kind of research activity where we've been able to take video footage of crops, animals, plants, or where we've been doing meetings with farmers online and digital, of course, but it's meant that students have actually been able to access meetings and content that previously, you know, they wouldn't have gone to a crop meeting in Aberdeenshire, but now mm-hmm. they can watch that online,
yeah.
Which is not at all to diminish the challenges, but it's to try and capture some of those small positives
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, silver linings. It's a good way to look at it.
So we do a lot of veterinary testing in our labs, and those labs have been turned to COVID testing as well. So the staff there are busier than ever, and you know, we've brought in additional staff, but for the most part it has absolutely been about minimizing the necessary people in the building. And when it has been possible to have students on campus, to prioritise the practical pieces. And again, maybe we're fortunate that some of our activity can be done outside, so that's at the safer end of what has been possible in the year, to take groups outside on farm visits and things. But, you know, as Ruth has said, it's been very challenging to get procedures sorted and then constantly changing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what has been, it's certainly required a great level of creativity and innovation to see actually what can be achieved with technology, but really interesting for you both to highlight such, you know, real life examples of actually you know, where it's maybe improved things, and great to hear, Ruth, as well, that you're enjoying it so much. That's really important. I'm not sure everybody would say that, you know,
I'm one of very few, to be perfectly honest.
but really positive to hear that that's your experience. And just moving on, I would like to hone in a bit more on some of the skills areas. But before we do that, I'd like to go a bit broader if we can, and just ask you both, and maybe starting with you, Ruth, again, actually, if that's okay. What you would see as some of the biggest influences affecting the future of agriculture and horticulture today. I mean, we are talking about this in the context of Agriculture 4.0, and really just seeing what you feel, what you're seeing coming through from an educational perspective, but what you're most excited about as well as we look to the future.
I actually think that one of the biggest influences right now is climate change. We can't dispute that. Which is possibly one of the negatives, but coming out of that are some really positive experiences and positive thinking and research as well that's coming out. So there's, like I said, one of the classes that I deliver is on global horticulture. One of the things that we've been looking at is sustainable production systems and the adoption of sustainable production, not just in the UK, but globally as well. And I think that's something that's a real positive. And it is having a climate change is kind of in the background of that, that's pushing it, the need for it. But I feel actually there are a lot more positives coming out of that as well. And labour as well is another problem. One of the biggest influences is the lack of skilled labourers that can work in agriculture and horticulture. And that is driving, for example, a move towards robotics. You know, we're moving into a robotic age. Mm. And that is one of the biggest influences I feel as well. But again, I see the positive of that because I'm all for technology and using technology to our advantage. So I see it as a big positive, but I know a lot of growers they don't see it as, you know, from that point of view.
Okay, no, interesting. And I mean, I'd like to explore that in a bit more about skills, but Fiona, interested to know as well what you're seeing as some of the biggest influences affecting these areas.
Yeah, I mean, so like Ruth, you know, I would put climate change right up there. I mean, I work a lot with growers who really, you know, current farmers in the forefront of, you know, biodiversity and climate emergencies, and that huge awareness that we have to produce food in more sustainable ways. And I think much more sophisticated thinking around, I mean, food's about so much more than just the calories. So the whole piece around, you know, the social justice, the inclusion, the culture and creativity that goes around food, and the kind of, you know, at the minute, the kind of interest in both the heritage of food, but then where we're going with it and how people feel about that. This is a big part of our research. And around that, then, you know, we've got all these new technologies, we've got all the power, you know, we've started this conversation around digital and being online.
Yeah.
But actually, how do people feel about that? And what do they want in their food? Do they care whether it's local? You know, the disconnect between, you know, many people and where their food comes from is, I don't need to say it here. I mean, we all know that challenge. But if you come back to trying to change systems and make it more local, is that what people want and how do they want it? So I just see all these different questions that mean we're thinking in much more open ways and bringing together groups of people to talk about them that we would never have had before. So often, you know, people like to work in silos. So that's maybe the bit I see as the most exciting, where we're really having conversations that cut across so many science areas, but, you know, social science areas as well, and dipping into the technology.
It's really interesting from a, you know, greater collaborative perspective. I mean, climate change is one of the biggest problems that, you know, we've faced in thousands of years. I mean, potentially, you know, possibly one of the biggest. It is something, you know, I think we look ahead to COP26 coming to Scotland in November, and, you know, it's about collaboration and people working together. And that's, you know, I think you've both highlighted that in terms of how we can sort of move the dial forward in a positive way. Ruth, you talked about robotics and labour and sort of, you know, the influence that's having, and also technology coming in as well. That obviously affects skills and educational requirements, and they will are changing as you've talked about. How are these areas changing? If you could give some examples, that would be great. And what I'm interested to know as well is, do you think that the changes within these sectors will mean a greater diversification of skills or a consolidation of skills?
I have found, I've been a lecturer with SRUC for 4 years now, and from when I first started to where I am now, the even just in that short period of time, what students are interested in, I think, has actually quite dramatically changed. And there, obviously, it's each year group is actually quite different, and there's a lot of individuality within there as well. But what I find is, in terms of the skills, we still deliver those core fundamental horticultural skills, and that's absolutely necessary to just, you know, get your hands dirty, get in there, even, you know, sowing seed and all the rest of it. But there has to be an appreciation for a move to this more, as I've already mentioned, this sort of robotic age. And that's coming about, I feel, as a result of a couple of different things. One is skills shortage through workers who actually want to do these really repetitive tasks, because actually a lot of horticultural tasks are very repetitive. Mm-hmm. And it's quite rare to find people who actually want to do that, you know, and that's where they see themselves going in their career. We still have to provide our students with those skills, but I feel like a shift towards using machinery, using robotics, even just having an understanding of what's available, and looking at examples from, for example, from the Dutch industry, which is, the Dutch horticultural industry is the biggest in the world, and that is because they have automated. The economy of scale is just ginormous compared to the majority of the rest of the world, bar kind of the USA and China. And they've done that through that. So I just feel that there's potentially a gap maybe within our within what we deliver. But I think fundamentally for SRUC, because we are a rural college and we pride ourselves on those rural skills, I think perhaps going entirely robotic would be a complete departure from what our true values are. So for me, getting, you know, bridging that gap is what I like to do, introduce students to robotics and automation, but not forget the fundamentals. And I think with regards to the second part of your question, hopefully that's answered the first part.
Yeah,
but
with regards to
diversification or consolidation, I think that's really on an individual person's, I would say that's down to the individual. I think there needs to be a consolidation to get those core skills, really like hone in on those core skills, but also introduce new skills, and that diversification is also just as important. But in terms of an actual workforce, I think diversification may be better because we have this influx of automation. Mm-hmm. So robots can't do everything.
No. Yes, well, not yet, they can't.
Not yet. Let's hope they can't, because otherwise we're completely replaceable. So
yes, yeah, we're not, I don't think we're there yet. But yeah, no, interesting. Fiona, is there anything additional that you've got to add in there?
I think, again, the increasing interest from students in the business, the entrepreneurship angle, which is so important. And you know, absolutely agree with what Ruth said, that we can do both. We can have the small niche businesses and the big robotic businesses. But I think going back to the sort of migrant labour piece, the idea that you have careers in horticulture and food production that are seen as rewarding and high value and not that repetitive low-grade stuff that absolutely we can replace with technology. So the whole piece around developing, you know, new food products, kind of optimising the clean and green image that some of Scotland's food production has. I think it's nice to see students being more business savvy, certainly than I ever was, and picking up on those, yeah, entrepreneurial traits.
Does feel like the sort of the entrepreneurial trend is gaining momentum, and I wonder whether technology is the kind of the real driver for that. And that brings me on to my next point. I mean, we've talked a bit about technology already, but you know, I'd like to get a sense from you, and maybe you first on this one, Fiona, but how important you think technology is now and will be in agri and horti environments as we move forward?
It's huge. I mean, we could fill many, many podcasts with where we're going with this. In some ways, agriculture and horticulture is lucky in that it can borrow, you know, what has been applied in other industries and, you know, take advantage of some of the, you know, the digital imaging, robotics has already come up. But I suppose with that comes the flip side that we are maybe trailing behind some other industries. But absolutely, technology is going to be really key to being more efficient, cleaner. You know, we've touched on, you know, new businesses and niche businesses, but the whole digital piece there that allows businesses to be connected to their markets, to understand, you know, the market demands and the supply, and to have shorter food supply chains, so that kind of digital connection. So there's a whole piece there before we get to, if you like, the more engineered side of technology. You know, we've got interests around, you know, imaging crops, modelling crops, predicting better, tuning your inputs. There's a whole piece on the internal side about, you know, how you light crops, how you feed them, you know, when we're moving into the virtual.
And Ruth, I mean, is this something that you think is going to become a greater trend, that there will be a more of a need for a technological emphasis on the skills that are being taught?
Yes, I think there has to be. One of the things that I focus on with my students is, for example, one of my classes looks at controlled environments. So looking at vertical farms, looking at glasshouses, even on a polytunnels, you could just about class as a controlled environment, and all the technology that goes into that. And even today, I'm promoting the use of LEDs. You know, in industry, we already know that LEDs are significant for energy saving, as well as the, you know, the control of the spectrum, the quality of light that's provided to the plants. And I think there has to be an understanding of what all that means, you know, all the background, before teaching them then how to use it. And that's kind of, I suppose, where I come in with what I teach, and the skills that I'm providing to my students is more about understanding why. It's not just about, we have this technology, so let's use it. Mm-hmm. Why do we have it, and why are we using it? what are the benefits of it, and actually critically analyzing technology. Is it going to be useful or not? And if it's not, well, is it worth the money? Well, probably not then, you know. And so I think the skill for that I'm really interested in is that critical evaluation and making sure that you are, if you are going to use any sort of tech, is it the right tech that you're using? And what else is available? That kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's really, I'm delighted to hear as well that you're promoting LEDs and controlled environments. Although you're that's what you're talking about with your, that's very interesting from an IGS perspective.
Yeah.
And Fiona, I wanted to ask you firstly, you know, sort of how, well, in terms of the way the sector is evolving, what impact would you say that is having on the type of people you're attracting and how you are sort of equipping them for this evolving in agricultural environment?
That's an interesting question. So we still get quite a lot of students come from fairly traditional family farming backgrounds, but increasingly, you know, they are much more open to new thinking and you know, we referred earlier to some of the entrepreneurial, the new business ideas there. On the horticulture side, I think increasingly, you know, again, people are so interested in where their food comes from. So we see, you know, a vast range of, you know, students who are interested in doing this and are really developing, you know, interesting lines of thinking here. Ruth, I know, could say more about, you know, what the students are bringing to us at the moment. But I think it's been really interesting to see that switch from, you know, primarily people from family backgrounds in farming. And I think that's really welcome that we open up the industry. Because, you know, we need some of these technology, creative thinkers, new approaches brought into the industry. So that, for me, is a real plus.
Yeah, I think that feeds in really nicely with what Ruth was saying before about, you know, this emphasis on why as well with the technology, that it's not that, you know, yes, it's welcome and it's exciting, but it's got to be practical and, you know, deliver results, and I suppose to stand up against you know, an industry that's been thriving for thousands of years, that, you know, to move into the next generation, it's got to be, you know, viable. On that point, Ruth, I'm interested to get your take on, you know, so the talent that's coming through and what excites you most in terms of the type of talent and you know, the way they're addressing this kind of evolving sector.
Yeah, so I think what excites me the most is we are seeing more and more students who are really engaging with the bigger picture, like what Fiona has kind of mentioned about people are becoming interested in where their food comes from, and we're seeing students, particularly on the horticulture program, who are really interested in sustainability. They're interested in not just, you know, becoming gardeners, which is often what people think horticulture is all about, but about the much bigger picture, from the local scale right up to the global scale. And that really excites me, because I love a debate about sustainability. I'm all for it. Every class I will throw it in there just because I can. But in terms of the making sure that we equip our students with the right skills, it's not just those practical skills I feel that need to be mentioned. I think it's also what is coming up, and it's a new term that you might hear in the educational literature, is meta skills. And this is applicable to all of our students, and it's about making sure that they are ready to go out into the world of work should they choose that's where they take their education to, where we're promoting creativity, you know, problem solving, innovation. We're promoting resilience, you know, we're helping to our students to become much more resilient and recover from failure. And I think particularly for farmers and anyone going into food production, this is really important. It's not just about how can we use tech and how can we, you know, all of the practical skills you'll need. It's actually those on a person basis, you know, how can we actually create students that are ready for whatever they choose to do? Self-awareness, again, is another one, you know, developing empathy and learning how to listen. And I think the online environment is really helping with that, because people have to almost, you know, you have to wait your turn, you have to listen, you have to put your virtual hand up and all of these kind of things. It's not just a case of a shouting match in a classroom anymore. Yeah. Because you can't hear, you know. So I think those skills also have to really be driven into any educational program now, not just the core subject itself.
You've hit on something there as well. Empathy, that's something robots are not capable of.
No, exactly. So,
that's really important. And in the meta skills element, Ruth, that's got a far greater emphasis now than it has had in the past. That's what you're saying, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think it's always been something that's there, but now it's just got a name. Really. Yeah. And I think really good teachers have always had those meta skills put into any of their curriculum designs. But now it's becoming a focal point, not just those core skills, you know, even just using a computer, but actually you as a person helping to evolve, helping our students to evolve into people who are fully adaptable, whatever workplace they choose to go in, is also equally as important.
So much really great stuff in there, and you know, and I think a really rounded perspective on actually how the industry is moving forward, but also maintaining its emphasis on some of the more traditional elements as well, which, you know, and the personal elements too, which does bring me comfort, because I don't want the world to be run by robots quite yet.
but
I'm really grateful to you both for your time today. It's been hugely interesting and a real sort of insight for me and hopefully for the listeners as well into how education and skills development is moving forward across agriculture and horticulture. And so I'd like to thank you both very much indeed for your time. Look after yourselves, and thanks again for being our guests today.
Thank you for listening to CLIMA, the Insights and Thought Leadership podcast from IGS. If you would like to receive email notifications when we add new content to CLIMA, please go to www.igsclima.io to sign up. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do like or share, and to find out more information about IGS, go to www.intelligentgrowthsolutions.com.